Hey, New Life. We are so excited that you decided to join us for this special online experience. No matter where you are, we want you to know that we are gathered together as the people of God. Every single week, we talk about this idea of moving from the scattered community to the gathered community, but we want you to know right now that God's Spirit has gathered us together no matter where we are. We are gathered by one Spirit, one baptism, and one Lord who is over all and working in us all at this very moment. And so no matter if this is a brand new experience for you or maybe something that that you've done before, we want to let you know that we invite you to engage in worship with God this morning. We want to invite you to open up his word and to even talk and discuss about what God begins to speak to you throughout this morning. We believe that if you are open to what God wants to say to you today, that you will be transformed and you will be different because you have gathered with the people of God. Now, I want to let you know about a couple of things. First of all, if you want kind of further explanation about some of the reasons why we made the decisions we did and how you can continue to engage with us over the next week, we want to let you know that you can go and find that information on our website. Specifically, if you have children who are elementary age, there's some great resources on there to be able to go over with your kids. But I also want to take a moment just to reiterate a couple of things that I think are important for why we are doing what we're doing. First of all, we are a multi-generational congregation. And with this in mind, we know that each and every week we have the wonderful opportunity to gather different generations together. But in this, and knowing kind of how the coronavirus works, we know that our kids and our younger generations tend to be the largest carriers of the virus, but who do not present symptoms. We know that our older generation is the most vulnerable to that. And so in order to keep everybody from continuing to pass on this virus or to compromise anybody in our older generation, we felt it was the most prudent and responsible and for the safety of our congregation to meet in this context rather than gathering this weekend. The second thing that I want you to know is that idea of caring for the most vulnerable is a core belief for us here at New Life. We want to make sure that we're always thinking about the person who could potentially be at risk in any given situation. And so as your pastor and shepherd, I felt the responsibility to make sure that we are caring well for our older generation and the ones who are most vulnerable in this particular situation. And last but not least, we want to be a part of the larger community strategy. We want to be good citizens. Not only has our president and state government officials and health officials, but also even now local government officials and schools have kind of stood in solidarity with one another and said, hey, the best way to kind of like squash that curve and to have the minimal impact of this virus is for us to operate in this way. And so as good citizens, we want to be a part of what's happening and participate with our community kind of towards this common goal. Here's what I know though. All things work together for the glory of God. God is going to use this experience. He's going to use this season in the life of our church. I believe that with every fiber of our being. I believe that God is going to give birth to fresh and new ways of being the church. He's going to challenge our normals, and he is going to give us new opportunities to worship him and to be his hands and feet in this world. And here's what I would ask of you. Would you maybe allow God? I know that you might be frustrated about kind of some things that are going on, or maybe you don't fully agree or any number of things, but here's what I would suggest. Would you allow God to hijack what you thought your plans were going to be this week? Would you allow God to move in your heart and life and maybe hijack the plans that you thought were going to happen? And maybe he has something that he wants to teach you. Maybe he has something that he wants to reveal to you that he couldn't have revealed to you otherwise had you not kind of dialed things back and found yourself in this particular situation. In fact, on sports talk radio this week, of all places, I heard a guy who was actually from our particular area talking about how he was frustrated that March Madness got canceled and his kids' baseball league got canceled and all these things. And he was kind of seething in this kind of frustration about all this going on. And then he got checked. And on sports talk radio, not in church and not in a religious conversation, but on sports talk radio, this guy said, you know what? I got checked. And I thought during this during this season, I'm always sports guy. But what if right now I'm not supposed to be sports guy? What if I'm supposed to be family guy? What if I'm supposed to take my wife out on a date or to spend more time with her? What if I'm supposed to invest in my son in greater ways during this time? I believe that God is going to interrupt our plans over the next week and gonna help us discover things about what he wants us to know that we couldn't have known otherwise if we hadn't gone through this together, if we hadn't been listening into him, and if we hadn't experienced him in this unique way. And so will you pray with me as we begin to worship together? Gracious Heavenly Father, wherever we are, we submit ourselves to you right now. Wherever we are, God, we lift up our voices, we lift up our hands, we sing, we dance, we just engage in worship with you because we know that, God, your spirit has something that you want to do in us today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
You have no right, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. Of God, for fresh on. family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you.
New Life, my name is Joanna, and I am so excited to welcome you to church. And we know that church isn't just a building. It's where the people of God come together to worship him. And just like Jesus says in the book of Matthew, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is also. So Jesus is right here with us online in our own homes as we gather together. And I sure hope that you have cozy slippers on. If this is your first time here with us, we are so glad that you're here. And we would love to encourage you to take some time after the message to explore our website, to download our app. We have so many different ways for you to connect. If you have been with us the last few weeks, you know we have been participating in Lifeline's Baby Bottle Boomerang campaign. Try saying that three times fast. We encourage you to continue to fill your bottles full of change. And when we all gather back together, we would love for you to bring them then. And that will be a way to encourage this really special ministry. So right now, let's just take a moment to get our hearts ready to hear what God has for us this morning as Pastor David brings a message on the spiritual discipline of prayer.
Well, if you have your Bibles in front of you, or you want to open up your YouVersion app, I want you to open up to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And Philippians is in the New Testament, or the second half of the Bible. And we're going to get to that in just a moment, but I want you to reflect before we get there on just a couple of simple questions. They're really simple, but I want you to begin to kind of just process through your life kind of currently and maybe even what you're looking forward to or what you're looking at in the future. These simple questions. First of all, what's happened? What's happened in your life? What are things that have kind of led up to this particular moment, this particular season? What's happened in your life? What's happened? The second one, what's happening? What's happening right now? What's happening at this very moment? What's happening in this very season? What's happening, you know, kind of in this season of life? What's happening to you? And the third one is, what's going to happen? What are you thinking about that's coming up? What are you worried about? What are things that you're anxious about? What are things that you're thinking about? What is going to happen? And here's what I want you to do as you begin to think about those three particular questions. There's no correlation between knowing what's happened in your life, what is happening in your life, and what is going to happen in your life, and your ability to navigate what has happened in your life, what is happening, and what is going to happen. I want to say that again, because I know it's a little bit kind of complicated to kind of wrap our hearts and minds around, but I think it's so vitally important. There is no correlation between what has happened in your life, what is happening in your life, or what will happen in your life, and your ability to navigate or to kind of make it through well what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen in your life. If that was the case, like if there was a correlation between kind of like what is going to happen and my abilities to navigate that well, then all of a sudden you would have so many people who, when they're looking at their marriage, when they're looking at planning for their wedding day, they know that they're gonna live this life of marriage, that they would automatically be able to just kind of have the expertise and the ability to navigate all that with ease. But the reality is that we know that there's a challenge there. And everybody can relate to this, because everybody can think about things in your life that have happened to you and you're like, man, I didn't expect that. I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know what to do when that relationship dissolved or when that thing didn't work out. I didn't know what to do when I didn't get into the college that I thought I was gonna get into. I didn't know what to do when that situation happened. And so you think back to the things that have happened in your life and you're like, man, I did not expect that. Or maybe you're even thinking right now, man, about what is happening currently. And you're thinking, man, when I'm thinking about what I'm currently going through and the decisions that I'm trying to make and the stuff that I'm trying to navigate, I feel like I'm drinking from a fire hydrant. And so you're just constantly trying to make decisions and it's coming at you. Or maybe you're thinking again about what is going to happen. And you're kind of pent up with anxiety and you're worried about what's gonna happen, or maybe you're anticipating what's gonna happen. But again, your ability to think about that doesn't necessarily correlate with your ability to actually navigate it once it's there. And what I want you to know as you think about this idea of what has happened in your life, what is happening, and what is going to happen, is that prayer is the foundation for all of these moments. Our ability to engage God in prayer, our ability to pray and bring our requests and our petitions before God and to kind of have this consistent prayer life is foundational for all these types of moments. And so again, I want us to go to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6-7. I want to kind of just press into this passage for just a few moments. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, as we've been in this series called Practicing the Way of Jesus, I'll be honest, this wasn't kind of the direction that I had planned to go this particular week. And yet God prompted me on Friday afternoon and said, you know what, you need to switch directions. And so just being led by the Spirit, I began to kind of move directions because I thought it was important to address, hey, we are coming into some situations where we're not quite sure how we navigated what happened. We're not quite sure how to navigate what is happening. And we're not quite sure how to navigate what is going to happen. And so I believe that this particular passage has some incredible insights for us. And the first one is this: in every situation it begins. It's not about kind of praying before God or pressing into this idea of prayer when something happens. It's not about a wait until something happens and then I will pray. In fact, this is one of the things that I've learned over years of ministry. is that it is so important to kind of have a full well of prayer in your heart and life so that when things happen in your life, when you're trying to respond to things that have happened, when you're trying to move in the moment of things that are currently happening, or whether you're kind of looking forward to the future, that you have this full well of prayer and interacting with God in order to make the best decisions possible, in order to press into opportunities, in order to experience the fullness of what God has for you. And one of the things that I find interesting about this idea of praying in every situation is that prayer for the ancient Jews was something that had consistent times and consistent words. All you have to do is do a kind of a cursory look throughout the scriptures, and what you will discover is that the psalmist prayed in morning, midday, and evening. There was these consistent times where the psalmist prayed. In fact, Daniel said he went to the house. He went and prayed at the hour of prayer. The apostles said the same thing. We prayed at the hour of prayer. Jews were known for consistently gathering together and praying similar words at consistent times and places. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you to do as you're thinking about this idea of praying in every situation is sometimes we can get pent up with fear, but the Psalms are a great gift to us to understand how we can pray consistently and in every situation. The book of Psalms is a guide for us how we can walk with confidence into situations or respond to situations that have happened, navigate situations that are happening, and be ready for situations that will happen. A few years ago, I actually became convinced that one of the major reasons why people shied away from prayer is because they were a little bit too dependent upon themselves. And so I want you to consider something. Instead of relying upon your own ideas and your own words and your own energies, that there's actually another method, that God has actually given us his word, and specifically in the Psalms, he has given us his word in order to pray into. That this method from the Bible is a gift to us. And so as you read throughout the Psalms, what you begin to discover are words that help you declare who God is. To declare that God is the one who provides, that God is our hope, that God is our future, that God is our refuge and our strength, that he is one who will never be shaken, that he is one who draws near to us. And so rather than trying to kind of come up with our own words on our own to be able to press in to not only who God has been in the past, but who he is right now and who he will be in the future. The other thing that's so fascinating to me about the Psalms is that they reveal the heart of God and the heart of God's people. And so as you read throughout the Psalms, you again begin to discover what is the heart of God in this world and what is God's heart for his people in this world. And then there's these beautiful prayers that happen that just kind of put words in our mouths for particular situations and times that help us navigate some of the most difficult and challenging things we will go through. And so there's these prayers called laments, these opportunities for us to take our frustration and our hurt and our pain and say, God, this is what I'm going through. And you seem so silent right now, and I'm not quite sure where you are in all this, but I'm gonna pray this prayer because somebody else at a different time and in a different place and a different season of history was experiencing this same thing, and this is how they prayed. And so we find solidarity standing with those who have gone before us. We also have prayers of confession. Sometimes we're not quite sure how to navigate our own sin and our brokenness, how to have God search our hearts and to reveal to us things during specifically this season of Lent that we want to say, God, I want you to clean up the house of my heart right now. I want you to do some spring cleaning. And so the psalmist gives us words of confession to say, God, search my heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. And so the Psalms are just kind of a beautiful opportunity for us to pray the words that God has given us and help us to begin to just connect with the heart of God. And so if you've never prayed before, maybe you've prayed for a really long time and you're looking for just kind of a fresh way to connect with God, let me encourage you that maybe during this season where you're not watching March Madness and you've only can binge watch so many Netflix shows that you would take time to begin to learn and read the Psalms. In fact, you can even use your YouVersion app to do a reading through the book of Psalms, and it just allows you to get up every day and to begin to read through words that will help connect you with the heart of God and words that will help you kind of navigate what has happened in your life, what is happening in your life, and what will happen in your life. Second way that God just kind of reveals words and kind of gives us words in order to pray into is through what I'm going to refer to, and Scott McKnight, actually, theologian Scott McKnight, calls it the Jesus Creed. It's not something new to you. In fact, most of you have heard me say these words or even have prayed these words yourself. But the Jesus Creed actually comes from the Jewish prayer, the Shema, and that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you're not familiar, here's what the Shema says. Love the Lord your God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. But then in the Jesus Creed, Jesus adds on to the Shema something that he says is as important as the beginning. He says the next commandment is just like that. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. But the next part of Jesus' answer would change the course of history, as he would say, the next portion of this prayer says to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as I was thinking about that, I was like, we think about that in action form. Like we think, hey, I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, my mind, soul, and strength, and love my neighbor as yourself. And we always kind of immediately go to kind of, you know, this action point of what that's gonna look like. But I think God so often wants us to pray into those things so that he can begin to transform our mind and transform our hearts so that we're ready for the action that he has for us. And so what if, and this is actually what happened in Jewish tradition, 2 to 3 times a day, or sometimes even more, Jews would pray into this Shema. They would remind themselves in the morning, they would remind themselves in midday, they would remind themselves in the evening time to love God with all their heart and with all their soul and all their mind and all their strength. And as Christians, what if we woke up every day and during the midday and throughout the day and in the evening, that we said, God, I want to love you with all my heart, and I want to love you with all my soul, and I want to love you with all my mind, and I want to love you with all my strength. And God, I want to love my neighbor as myself. And what if we memorize that, ingrain that in the fiber of who we are? And so that throughout the day, consistently, regularly, that we would be praying into that prayer. And so we'd be praying the Psalms in the words of God from the Psalms. And we would be praying the prayer, this prayer that is so vitally kind of important that Jesus taught us about, to love God with our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And as we prayed into those, we would begin to go, hey, how do I actually love God with all my mind? How do I love God with all my strength? How do I love God with everything that I am? And how do I love my neighbor as myself? If we continue to read on in that passage from Philippians, it says to pray in every situation by prayer, in things like the Psalms, in things like the Jesus Creed, and then it says, and by petition and thanksgiving. One of the things that I've discovered is that as I have learned how to pray the Psalms, and as I have learned how to pray into things like the Jesus Creed and like the Lord's Prayer, that all of a sudden, those words that God has given me to pray, all of a sudden kind of move me towards spontaneous and spirit-led prayer about petitions, prayers, and thanksgivings that are in my life that I want to just pour out to God. Because when I pray the words that God has given me, it aligns my heart with God. No longer am I worried about my motives, because I'm praying God's word, and I know that God's word is going to be etched on my heart and etched on my soul and etched on my mind, and it's going to become the catalyst for me to pray these spirit-led petitions so that my heart is in line with what God wants to do. It becomes the catalyst for us praying our own concerns, that I'm not just praying about my concerns because of ulterior motives, but they're in line with the heart of God. And so I want to encourage you to spend some time in the coming days just pressing into the words that God has given us in order to pray. To not just kind of go, hey, you know what, I'll get around to that at some point. But what if you begin to fill your well with the word of God? What if you begin to go through the Psalms and you begin to not only pray them, but for some of us, we begin to memorize those words. So when you think about things that have happened in your life that want to come back in, you think about that person that you've struggled to forgive, or you think about that situation, or you think about how the enemy comes along and tries to diminish you by who you used to be. Or you think about what you're currently going through and some of the things that we're having to navigate, or what people are saying about you. Or you think about what's going to happen over the next week or 2 weeks or months or years, or in that new relationship or that new job opportunity. When you think about those things, what if like lightning flashes into your heart and soul, the word of God, because you've memorized it, because you've spent time with it, like lightning flashes into your heart and soul, the word of God would come to you in those particular moments. And they would bring comfort to you and encouragement and strength and a dependence upon who God is in your life. And what if you took time in the coming days to memorize the words that Jesus gave us? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. What if that was so much a part of the fabric of who we are, that in every situation, we were just kind of almost like underneath our breath, like breathing in and breathing out, those words would like be inhaled in us and then exhaled to the world around us. And what if we learned to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? I think about that sometimes. Here you have these Jewish young men who grew up learning the Torah and learning how to pray. And Jesus basically says in the book of Matthew, you don't really know how to pray. Let me teach you how to pray. And then he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. And what if that became a consistent rhythm? Not just the words, as if kind of Jesus wanted to just teach us the words by themselves, but the movements of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. And we would be reminded that God is our Heavenly Father, that he is near us, that he wants us to crawl up in his lap and press our ear to his chest as our Heavenly Father. Our Father who art in heaven, because he sees things from a different perspective, a kingdom perspective. Hallowed be thy name. That we would praise him and that we would be in awe of him. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, like these words that just come to us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That these words were like lightning flashes would be coming to us, not just when we pray those words, but throughout the day as we are the people of God. And here's my last thought for you. The action of prayer moves us to peace and understanding in our hearts so that we can go and do the things that Jesus did. And so as we pray and as we begin, we pray with thanksgiving and petition, and as we pray the Psalms and as we pray these words that scripture has given us, that God has revealed through his word, that leads us to peace and understanding in our hearts, so that our hearts are in line with him, so that we can actually go and do the things that Jesus did. See, when we begin to pray these words, then we don't live by fear. We don't live by fear by what's happened in our life. We don't live by through fear of what's happening in our life. And we don't live through anxiety and fear about what's going to happen in our life. We are living at peace in our heart and mind because we have an understanding of who God is and who he's called us to be and what he is doing in this world. And then our hearts are shaped towards God in every situation so that we are ready to become his people in this world for this particular time. I want to share with you just a short action step to kind of take with you from our time together. As I mentioned earlier, I believe that God is going to unleash some incredible, fresh, and new ways to be the church. So often, and specifically in America, our understanding of church is kind of so confined to our gathering on a particular day of the week or on a weekend and the service and the music and all that kind of stuff. And there's nothing inherently bad about that, but we can be so myopic in terms of our understanding of what it means to be the church. And so here's an opportunity for God to unleash some fresh and new ways for us to be the church to one another and in our community. And so if this excites you, and I hope it does, I want you to do a couple things. First of all, I want you to go to the Lord in prayer and to begin to kind of pray into this idea. Okay, God, what does it look like for me to love my neighbor as myself? What does it look like for me to love you with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all my mind in this particular season? And as you pray in that, if you want to take an action step to actually put into physical action those prayers that you have been praying, here's what I want you to do. We have incredible need in our community, and we will have incredible need in our community in the coming days. We don't know fully what it's going to look like, but we want to be prepared for it. And we know that although we're not going to be gathering today or on this weekend for our normal worship services, that we can still be the church. And one of the ways that we can be the church is by being a neighbor to those who are around us, to the people that we know and the people that live around us, that are our friends and our actual neighbors, to even people that maybe we don't know so well. We also know this, that some people in our community are going to need a neighbor. They might find themselves directed by their doctor to stay in their home, to kind of self-quarantine themselves. And they've been told maybe not to go to the store. And so they're going to need somebody who might be able to run some of those errands for them. And so what we kind of got together and said, hey, God, how would you have us respond in this particular moment? And so one of the things that God told us to do is, hey, what if we gathered people and we began to kind of think about two different things. Who are the people in our community who need someone to be a neighbor to them? And who are the people in our community who can be that neighbor? And so with that in mind, we want to encourage you that if you want to be a part of either, if you have needs in your life or you need someone to be a neighbor to you, or you want to be a neighbor to somebody else, we actually want you to text the word neighbor to the number that's going to be on the screen. And when you do that, we want you to, you will receive a message back to you giving you some options. If you're someone that is saying, hey, you know what? I need some help during this season. I need someone to be a neighbor to me during this season. I'm not quite sure how I'm gonna navigate it all. We just want you to, you'll just kind of fill out some short information, then click that yes box, I need a neighbor and to help me, and we'll be able to contact you and begin to connect you with some resources. And then if you're somebody who says, hey, you know what? I want to be a neighbor during this season. I'm in the kind of that demographic who won't be as highly affected by going out and participating in kind of some of the normal activities. I want to encourage you to consider texting that word neighbor to the number that you're going to see. And in that, you'll receive a message. And there's several ways that you can participate in this idea of being a neighbor to somebody. The first way is this. We are going to continue our pantry during this particular season. Yes, we are not going to gather this weekend, but we know that some of the most vulnerable people in our community are still going to need food. And so we want to make our pantry available, which means that we're going to need people who are willing to be a neighbor and volunteer at our pantry. We are also working with Lucia Mar School District to make sure that as they have suspended their classes, to make sure that the students who are the most vulnerable in our school district are getting food. At this point, those individuals will still have access to free and reduced breakfast and lunch, but what we may have to do is to step in and provide some dinners and things of that nature and provide extra resources in our pantry. The second thing that we're gonna need people to do is just be an encouragement to people. That might be a phone call to those who are on their own, or it might be writing cards to those who have been kind of isolated to their senior home, or any number of things that I know that are happening in our community right now. And so it's just, we want people to be an encouragement. We need people to pray. We need people to pray for God's movement in the season, for God's healing during the season. And so if maybe you're saying, hey, the way I'm going to be a neighbor is I am going to be a prayer warrior in this particular season. We're going to need people who can be on a delivery team and go pick up medications for individuals and maybe do some grocery shopping for individuals. And so if maybe that is something that God prompts you in. And last but not least, we know that in the coming days, it is looking like we're going to continue to have inclement weather, and we're going to need people to serve and be a neighbor at the warming center in our Five Cities area. And so no matter which one of these areas that God might be prompting you in, we want you to text that word neighbor to the number that you've seen. And then you can kind of begin to select how you feel that God is calling you to be a neighbor during this season. The last thing that I want you to know is that as we continue ministry, and I think that's really important for you to know, I know ministry has changed and it looks a little bit different this weekend. And we're not quite sure all the details of how it's gonna look in the not so distant future. But here's what we know. We wanna continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We wanna continue to do the things that Jesus did. And if I can just get honest with you for just a couple of moments about some of the things that we're looking at is, in order for us to continue to do ministry like the pantry, in order for us to reach into our community, and in order for us to continue the even adapting to different types of ministry and to be ready to even seize opportunities as God brings them to us, we need you to continue in your consistent generosity. And so we would just want to encourage you. Maybe you've never given online before, or given by downloading our New Life app or on, in that way, that you can actually continue your generosity in those ways. You can give online maybe for the first time, or just continue giving that way if that's something you do regularly. We also want to let you know that we're going to have some regular office hours still. Our staff is going to still be coming in and getting ministry done here and listening into how God wants to utilize us during the season. And so you can even stop by the church office and drop off your tithe and offering if that's something that you want to do in that way. We know that God's going to provide. We know God has positioned us in our community for such a time as this. And so we are simply going to trust in him. And so here, just my final blessing to you. As you go throughout this week, may you press in to the words that God has given us to pray. May you allow those to be a catalyst for praying prayers that he just brings to your heart and mind. May you allow them to bring peace and understanding to your heart and mind so that you might go and do the things that Jesus did. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. Thanks so much for joining us. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family, in your children, and their children, and their children.